Praise the Lord.
I ditto everything Stephen just said. Does that work? I don't think so. Okay. Once again, I'm so humbled to be here. God has truly done a work in Mexico, and I got a chance to see that once again. It's just amazing to me. I cry every time I go back there. Every time I think about it, I cry and just think, Lord, this is your work. It's marvelous in our eyes. And I see the work here. I see new faces always here. And that, too, blesses me and thrills me because we do pray for you also as we are in Poland also. And but anytime you get a chance, anybody can come visit. Come visit. Just come see the work. Just come get your mitts, your scarves, your hats, gloves. Come visit. It's not too cold. But anyway, we just thank you all so much for your giving this week, for all the time. The last 28 years that Joe and I have been on the field, we have never gone hungry. Never. Not once. God has always provided. Never once have we had... One month we had to maybe eat beans and rice a little bit more than what we wanted, but, you know, God provided that, and it was still food. We didn't go hungry. And we thank the Lord for that. And one thing that I don't know if anybody heard listened to the words of the PowerPoint that Joe had the other night, but one of the songs that was on there that really had touched my heart that I've heard for the last few years, and one that says Across the Miles, and that's the title of this. And some of the words that I've written here that I wrote down from the song. It says, all around this world I've traveled, through it all I've come to find. The ties that bind can come unraveled. I've had to face some lonely times. But when I'm tired and feeling low, what a comfort it is to know, across the miles there's someone praying for me. Across the miles there's someone on their knees.
Amen.
Lifting my name to the Lord above. Not just mine, but the ministry, the work. Because there are some lonely days. There have been some lonely times. There are some hard times to be away from family and friends. When you know your mother's sick or your dad's sick or, you know, someone's hurting. And you wish, boy, I'd like to be there just to comfort them. But you can't. And you got to keep on going. But knowing that someone is there lifting my name, lifting this work, lifting the ministry. Okay, now get up. Let's go. Let's go. It's got to go. And it says, life can be so complicated, walking through it on your own. When kindred hearts are separated, it gives love a chance to grow. And even though I'm so far away, I'm reminded every day that across the miles, someone is praying. And that has just been, every time I think of it, I cry. I'm surprised I didn't cry in the presentation. But we are so thankful for your prayers. Those prayers are more precious than anything. And it helps us to get through each and every one of those days. Joe and I were out. Brent had already gone home. We were out passing out tracts. And Joe had this. Joe and Brent had this sign about homosexuality and, you know, what we think about it and everything. And Brent had already left. And all of a sudden, a whole group of young people came and just mobbed us. And Joe and I were like, I was shaking. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm scared to death. I'm really, you know, this is really a scary situation. You don't do this in Poland very often. You get a whole mob of people, one or two maybe, but it wasn't like Mexico. It had been a while since we had that. And but it was, I knew we got through it. We got Joe calmed them down. The Lord just calmed that whole group and just was able to talk to them, get some things through to them, and it was a real blessing. Prayer works, and we're thankful for it, and we're thankful for each one of you, because he wants to bless us, but he also wants us to ask him. He wants to hear what we desire, and specifically, and Mark 8, 34 through 38. Since I moved to Toronto and I've become an English teacher, I started teaching English. I took an online class and got a diploma and started teaching. And some things that have really started popping out at me, you know, through English in the Word of God. And so Mark 8:34-38, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And I asked myself the questions, the who, what, when, where, why, all those how, and all those questions. And so as I was looking at this, I looked at the when should we do that? Will he call? Whenever he calls unto them at any given moment. When he calls, he will call you, and he will call you to do his work. And if you're not saved here today, maybe today is the day that he is calling you. Amen. At any given moment. Whosoever will come after him. Will? Do you want to? It's personally, do you have a want to do it? It's a will. And whosoever? It's singular here. Whomsoever is usually plural. Whosoever is singular. Whosoever. He's pointing to each and every individual person. And he wants, and your parents can't save you. As it's been said this week, no one else can do it for you but yourself. So it's an individual, personal decision. What does he want? He wants you to deny yourself. And I looked up deny exactly just to make sure. It says deny, to refuse to recognize or acknowledge. To refuse to recognize or acknowledge yourself. To deny yourself. And then it says, and take up his cross. That's what he wants you to do. Take up his cross. Take it up, what does that mean? This is those phrasal verbs that Polish people hate, and I'll give you some more. Those are hard. If you haven't studied phrasal verbs, look those up. You'd be amazed. But take up, what does that mean? To accept the offer. To take it up, to accept the offer. Where? Wherever you are. Wherever you are at this moment in your life, he wants you to do it. Wherever you are in the world. And he wants you to take it wherever you can in the world. How? By losing your life. Your life. And not being ashamed of him. And then why? And this is the greatest part. Why? Why does he want us to? Because you will save your life for eternity. And he's coming back in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. We get to see marvelous things. That's why. Because he is coming back for us, and we are going to be with him one day. And we will be doing more work. So why not take up your cross and follow him? And, you know, a lot of times a lot of people in the foreign countries, and even probably some of you have also had to experience this. You took up your cross and you suffered some things because you chose to live for him. Andrew, the elderly Seventh-day Adventist, faced the decision finally when he understood about meat in his life, you know, that, you know, we can all eat meat. There's freedom to do that in the New Testament. And he got saved. He was planning on getting baptized. And his common-law wife said, if you get baptized, I'm leaving you. What did he do? He came, he got baptized, she left him. But I heard they reconciled and she came back. So, you know, he took the chance and he did what he knew was to do what was right. Michael, Joe's talked about him, the 20-year-old now that said he wanted to come for three meetings, three weeks in a row, and then he'd make a decision whether he wanted to talk to us. He wants to see his family freed from vices. His parents are both alcoholics. His brothers and sisters have problems with drugs. He wants to see that freedom in his life, in his family's life. And Marching, his mother wanted him to be a priest so badly in this little country, little area. And she's trying all she can do to keep him away from Christians. And he's going through some rough times. Martina, the one that Marching, this young man, met on a train. They went to the same school. He brought her. She got saved. And she lives with her dad and stepmom and stepbrothers and sisters. She's going through trials of living with stepparents and, stepmom and brothers and sisters. I don't know how much she has actually told her parents, but I know her dad knows she reads her Bible. So, what cross does he ask each one of us to carry? What does he ask you to carry? Things that are pleasurable to you, that are you willing to give them up? Are you willing, there's that phrasal verb, give up. Are you willing to give up things for the gospel's sake, for Christ's sake? People ask me all the time, Debbie, don't you miss your family? Oh, believe me, I miss my family. Yeah, don't you miss your friends back home? Yeah, I do. And I had a coworker that went home that came over here a couple months ago, and he came back and he says, Debbie, wow, your country is just amazing. He says, how can you leave it? And I said, no, don't answer that. I know why. You're here for a different mission. I said, you're right. And that's exactly right. And he understands, a little bit. I've been having a chance to talk with him. His name is Paul, and been trying to talk with him quite a bit. He's one of the few that has opened up a little more about his life. And I do miss things. But, I would rather be outside of the U.S. in God's will than here out of His will.
Amen.
And there's no other choice. My husband won't come back anyway, so I have no choice. What am I going to do? Okay. Like I said, since moving there, I started teaching English. And it's been a great way for me to be able to reach more people. And like I said, the phrasal verbs has really been something really hard. You need to look those up. We do it so naturally, we don't even realize that we do them. And so I was looking at some of these as I was teaching them, and I was thinking, yeah, one is give up. Do you give up? Is this just too hard for you? Or do you give up your will unto Him? Do you give out? Are you just too tired and about to give out? Or are you willing to give out more for Him? Are you willing to give in to temptations? Or are you willing to give in to His will? Or do you just sit around, sit back, sit down, sit it out while others do the work? Or are you ready to stand for the Lord, stand in the gap, and in any way you can, take up your cross?
Amen. And turn to number 83, stand.